We're going to dive right in. We have a short amount of time, and I have over 8 pages of notes, which is more than I've ever had. So we're going to figure out how we're going to do this. Part 1, part 2, part 3, we'll see. We've been talking about renewal. We've been talking about living out our faith in community. And as I was thinking through these things and praying yesterday and over the week, but yesterday trying to finalize my thoughts or bring them into a final place, I began to ask these questions. And so I'm going to just read some of the questions, and then we're going to dive into some scripture here. What do you do when everything you have believed in comes crashing down? What happens when your faith is shaken to its core? The one who has devoted their entire life to loving and caring for others, only to hear the tragic diagnosis that they have cancer. The young couple who love God and follow His way by getting married and saving themselves for each other, only to find that they are unable to have children. What about those who have had their child tragically ripped from the womb in a miscarriage? The husband or wife who has been devoted to their spouse only to have their heart crushed by infidelity or divorce. The father or mother who has spent their life providing and caring for the needs of their children only to find themselves abandoned and alone. I could go on and on naming one crisis of faith after another. A tragic or untimely death, an incurable disease, physical or verbal abuse, racial prejudice, shattered dreams, heartbreaks, abandonment, and the list goes on. When you did everything right, when you did exactly what you were supposed to do, yet still you are no farther along in your career, your marriage is failing, your health is gone, you're still alone. You are mistreated, taken advantage of, made fun of, and for what? To what end? It is in these moments when the outcome doesn't match the expectation that we find our faith shaken to its core. If God really loved me, why would He allow this? How can I believe in a God that heals when good people are sick and dying? How can I believe in a God that provides when I see so many struggling and in poverty? When everything we have believed about God is challenged by our real life experience, what is our response? Do we give up? Do we walk away? In those proverbial rubber meets the road moments of our lives, in what condition do we find our faith? The scripture says that all that can be shaken will be shaken. Only that which is built on a firm foundation will remain. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, in the New King James Version says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will make him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain came and descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus is very clear. The storms will come. The storms will come. John chapter 16, verse 33 in the New Living Translation, it says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Then he says this, here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. It is the most conflictive scripture, one of the most conflictive scriptures in the Bible. I've told you all of this so that you'll have peace. In this world, you're going to have trials and tribulation. But take heart. It doesn't seem to make sense. If our faith is in crisis because of our life experiences, perhaps we should ask ourselves if what we believe about God is accurate. I'm going to say that one more time. If our faith is in crisis because of our life experiences, perhaps we should ask ourselves if what we believe about God is accurate. The essence of, this is a quote from A.W. Tozer, says, the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. Society has warped reality by suggesting that life is all about you. That life is all about me. You only have one life to live. These are sayings that they say. You only live once. Be the best you. A brand new you. Just do it. Nike made that famous, right? Just do it. If it feels good, do it. Even our beloved Constitution, how dare I, right? Even our beloved Constitution lists the pursuit of happiness as an inalienable right. Whatever makes me happy, right? While we certainly have that right, in the pursuit of our own happiness, can we truly find happiness? What is happiness really? As you can tell, I was deep in thought. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, second part of that says, I have learned in whatever state that I am in to be content. Ouch. I have learned in whatever state that I am in to be content. I fear that in the pursuit of our own happiness, we have treated God as a good omen or a good luck charm, or even worse, a get-out-of-jail-free card. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. I don't have all of these scriptures up here, but I have portions of them. If you have your Bible, make sure you turn there and follow along with me. But God shows His anger from heaven against the sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God, or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their heart desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. This is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way and instead indulged in sexual acts with each other. And men, instead of having normal relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolishness to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things they should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are hurtful, and have no mercy. They know God's just requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. Sin creeps in slowly. It starts with a doubt. One little trickle at a time. Did God really say? Did God really mean? How could God? If He can get us to think differently about God, if He can get us to begin to stop trusting God's love, then He can cause us to slowly slip away to a point where our own imagination, our own ideas of who God is, are so warped that we would be willing to completely pervert what God's Word says, who God is. And before we know it, we are stuck battling between what we thought we believed and what we thought we knew and the realities that we face. The Apostle Paul speaks clearly that the pursuit of their own happiness turned into idolatry. Because even though they knew God, they were unwilling to worship Him as God. Worship God as God. What does that mean? To worship is to honor. To honor is to give place. To give place requires surrender. Worshiping God is a surrender of my will to His will. Even as Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." This is so important for us to understand. What I'm trying to say in all of this is that in today's self-absorbed society, it is very easy for us to misunderstand who God is and that our relationship what our relationship with Him or to Him should be. We fail to understand His sovereignty. And if life isn't fair to us and things aren't going perfectly for us or in the world around us, we can easily take up an offense against God. We've been talking about having an offense against others. We've been talking about renewal. We've been talking about healing. But you know what? In today's society, and ever since the beginning, the first offense was against God. And if we're not careful, we can become offended, and we can carry an offense against God. When our faith is built on misguided, misconstrued, misinterpreted, or false ideology of who God is, We can easily mistake God as serving our purpose. We can easily mistake God as serving our purpose rather than our lives serving His purpose. We can easily mistake God as serving our purpose rather than our lives serving His purpose. Let's read this in Psalm 73. We're going to read the whole chapter. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and even mourning brings news of punishments. If I had spoken out like that, now he's reflecting, if I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children, talking to God. When I tried to understand all of this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakens. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, this earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. He finally got it. We're still trying to get it sometimes. Because we look around and we see the evil in the world. We see people that don't love God, that don't care about God. We see the things that are happening. And we say, how is it possible? Here I am trying to do all of the things right, and I'm struggling in life. I'm fighting in the good fight, and yet I am not living in comfort and in peace. I find myself still struggling with all of these things, and yet I look at those people over there that don't care about God, and they're doing, and they're living it up, and they don't have a care in the world. This seems wrong. This doesn't seem right. I've spoken with numerous single friends of mine, and in pain and bitter tears, saying, why do I try to walk it right? Why do I try to walk the right path? Here I am trying to do what's right, And I'm still out here alone. And yet, here are these people that they don't care. They're doing whatever they want, and they're happy. Look at them. And nothing's happening to them. Let me tell you, the struggle is real. We have to come to a place of understanding that this life is not about us. That may be very hard to swallow, especially in today's society, when everything is about us. It's about what I want, when I can get it, how I can get it. But it's not about us. Renewal is a process. This life is a setup for eternity. Listen to that. This life is a setup for eternity. This earth is not our home. This life is all about getting us to trust God. We have to learn to trust what He says about Himself and what He says about us. We may be going through a struggle right now. We may be going through a trial right now. We may feel like we have reached the end of the road. We may feel like we are banging our head against a brick wall. We may see the circumstances in our life surrounding us and crushing us. We may see other people that don't care about God living and prospering, and we're over here struggling. It doesn't make sense. And yet, we have to learn to trust. We have to learn to trust, because this is not the final destination. This is not our final resting place. The people that are living it up and having fun and doing all of those things, they have no fear of God. And one day they will receive the recompense for what they have done. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 and verse 12 says, "Consider it pure joy." Here's another big, really confusing scripture. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." We hate these words. Why can't we just preach a nice little, you know, flowers and, I don't know, puppies? "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete." Ouch. "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then it says this, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him." God's command to us is that we love Him with all that we are, and that we love those around us. Our love for God is demonstrated by our love for others. The only way for the world to know that we belong to God is for them to see His love poured out through us to everyone that we encounter. We call this living in community, living out our faith in community. But none of this is possible, listen, none of this is possible until our minds are renewed. We must have God in His place in our lives. We must have God in His place in our lives and be fully surrendered to His will. It is only when we accept that this life is not about us. And we start living selflessly, selflessly. We start living selflessly. That God can fully use us to share His love with the world. Listen, God desires to bless us. He has great plans for us. He will care for our needs. But when bad things happen, we must not take offense. We must remember that this life is the journey, not the destination. In this world, we will have tribulation, trials, testings, but our hope is in God. One day Satan and all of his demons will be cast into the lake of fire, and all evil will be destroyed. But until that day comes, we are to take heart in this: God loves us, and one day He will return, and we will enter into eternal rest. Pain-free, worry-free, complete and total rest. One day. Keep that at the forefront of your mind. Keep a smile on your face and a pep in your step. Love on everybody. Live for God. Live pure lives. In this way, you will remain at peace, even in the greatest trials and storms. Then you will be able to speak, even as Job, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. I want to end with this scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 19 through 33. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat and rust destroys, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So in light of all of that, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And He will give you everything you need. God wants to bless you, and He will care for us. But we must learn to trust Him. When everything around you seems like chaos, just look up. Lift up your head and smile. All of the pain, all of the suffering is temporary. This too shall pass. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. God is with you. God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Come on, give the Lord some praise in this place. None of these temporal things matter. The only thing that matters is how we respond. You can trust Him. Trust His love for you. He came and He conquered. And He's coming back again. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. As the musicians are coming, if you're here and you've been struggling to trust, if you find yourself in a crisis of faith and you don't see a way out, if your circumstances are overwhelming and you've begun to doubt God's love, if you feel that life is unfair and you are questioning God, please hear what I'm about to say to you. It's not over. The final bell has not been rung. God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on Him. This life is not the end. This life is not the end. Our hope is in what lies ahead, just over the horizon. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of mankind what God has prepared for those who love Him. As the songwriter said, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if you are here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus and you would like to make things right, you can start today by taking the first step and making Him the Lord of your life. It's a simple prayer. It's a profession of faith in Him. He is ready to take control and to bless you with a future and hope. If you would like to surrender your life to Jesus today and invite Him into your heart, He will fill you with joy and peace and hope and love. He will renew your spirit and make you whole again. If this is you, and you are ready to say yes to Jesus, would you raise your hand right now where you are? I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray in just a moment. But there's a second group of people that I want to speak to here. If you are here and you know that your faith is not where it should be, you are one of the ones that I was talking about. You're going through a trial or a testing and you feel helpless. You feel like God has abandoned you and you need help. If you're struggling with your faith, just like the father that cried out, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." We want to pray for you. Will you raise your hand so that I know who I am praying for? That's you. Would you just raise your hand? I see that hand. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Would everyone just stand to your feet, please? We're going to begin by saying a prayer of surrender. And then I'm going to continue praying for each of you. Dear Jesus, repeat this with me. Dear Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my fears. I surrender my failures. I surrender my pride, my anger, the bitterness in my heart. I surrender it to you. Every offense, I give it to you. I give you my life. I ask that you would come, that you would take my life, and that you would make me whole. That you would come into my heart, that you would fill me with your love. I choose to trust you. I choose to believe in you. Take me and make me your child. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, I just pray for everyone in this building. Everyone that's going through a trial, everyone that's going through a struggle, everyone that has been in a crisis of faith, everyone who is experiencing the pain and the pressure of life coming down on them. Lord, I thank you that your word says that we are more than conquerors. I thank you that your word declares that he who began the good work will be faithful to complete it. I thank you, Lord, that your word declares that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you'll always be with us, even to the end of the world. Lord, I thank you that your promise is that you will not leave us comfortless, that you will return, that you will come to us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort the hearts of every person that is in this place, that you would comfort us, Lord, that you would bring peace to our minds. Lord, that you would help us to trust you again. Help us to trust you again. Help us to trust your love for us. Lord, may it be so that you would help us, oh God, to not look at this life and what we don't have or what others have, but look ahead to the future and know we are storing up treasure in heaven. We are storing up our treasure in heaven. Father, I thank you for the souls in this place that are being touched, being healed, being restored, being renewed, being revived. I thank you, O God, that you're raising up a mighty army who will be able to go out beyond these four walls and begin to share your love with others. Healed, restored, filled with your peace. May it be so, Lord, that as we leave this place, we would hold our heads up high, a smile on our face, knowing, oh God, that we are loved by you and that we have a future and a hope. Our hope is you. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing. Thank you, Lord, that this word that went forth today will not return void. It'll accomplish that to which it was sent. We declare it in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.